Good afternoon. It's 12:07. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. Thanks very much for being with us on this Tuesday, May 14th. We're very glad to be along with you today for this Tuesday edition, financial focus edition of our program. With me in studio, as usual, it's Susan Burns. How you doing, Susan?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to that we've got our spring going. The sun's out. The things have bloomed, so now we can get right on into graduation season.
That's right.
Progress is happening.
It's dads and grads season, as we've been hearing in the advertising lately.
It is, and today we have a special guest who's both. Mike LeClaire from Financial Hope is going to help us learn about some more about credit.
That's right. Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Susan. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we want to, of course, invite you to join the conversation today. We are getting back to basics on credit because so often it can be a very confusing thing to talk about. Sometimes it can be difficult to talk about. And so we want your questions and comments about credit, your credit score, everything in that ballpark today, and we'll do our best to get you some good advice here. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And whether you're talking to your recent or upcoming graduate about credit, whether you have questions for yourself, we'd love to hear from you. And because we know these matters can be sensitive, if you'd like to be anonymous when you call in, just let our call screener know, and we'll do our best to help you out there. So when we talk, Mike, about getting back to basics, I want to get way back to go back to square one here. A lot of folks know how credit cards work, you know, serve their lives. A lot of folks know maybe how certain types of loans serve their lives. But let's go back to square one. What is credit?
Well, credit, probably in the simplest sense, is really just a vehicle that allows you to, or an avenue to purchase goods or services and have them now and pay for them later. Mm-hmm. But basically, what you're getting into in credit is all types of, you know, the revolving credit cards, installment loans, cars. But what you're getting into is credit scores, and that's something I want to talk about. And your credit score is a number between 300 and 850. It's assigned to you by your credit bureau, which basically helps lenders determine how creditworthy you are. So that's you wanted to be aware of what your credit score is. I've yet to see a 300. I've yet to see an 850, to be really honest. So.
300 being the
being the low, absolute, on the low end. Yeah, you definitely lowest, want to be on the high end. The lower your credit score, the higher the interest rates you're going to be paying. So.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, and when we talk about creditworthiness, I mean a lot of things can go into that. I mean, it could be the amount that a lender is willing to lend you, and what rates, what interest rate you have to pay that back, how expensive that money is.
Definitely, yes. If you have a really good credit score, you're going to be getting those 0% or 1.9 interest rates on car loans, whereas if you got, let's say, a lower credit score, you could be paying the almost credit card rates, depending on where you go to get an auto loan. Mm-hmm. But your credit score, first of all, in terms of being determined, a lot of times it's also referred to as your FICO score. And you hear that a lot, but what goes into that is about 35% of your credit score is determined by your payment history, and you know, are you paying your bills on time? Another 30% is what you owe. How much do you owe, and who do you owe, and are you maxing out your credit cards? Are your loans all maxed out? So as you pay down your credit cards, as you pay down your loans, that credit score is going to go back up. 15% of your credit score is based on what types of credit. It's a good idea to have a mix of credit, such as installment loans and credit card or revolving credit in there. Now, I'm not advocating that somebody goes out and buy a $20,000 car just to have an installment loan thrown into the mix if he's got his car paid off, but they do kind of look at the mix of credit. And then
I want to hang on this for just a moment. So you're talking about having assuming you can handle it, one or two or three credit cards potentially open, an auto loan and a mortgage, something like
that? Well, again, I mean, I think what creditors are looking for, in my sense, is what I've heard is, do you have a mix of credit? You know, the installment loan is the mortgages, the auto loans, things of that nature. So they want to see a history of that. Mm-hmm. And then also the revolving credit would generally be like a MasterCard or Visa, which also can include store cards. Your MasterCard or Visa is going to hold a little bit more weight on your credit score and your credit report if you have that over a store card.
So accounts that you're basically just building down to a zero balance. And then accounts that have sometimes have a zero balance, sometimes maybe a little bit more back and forth.
Well, the older the account is, the better on a credit card. It used to be the rule of thumb, as you hear, well, you know, I'm going to cut up all my cards and close them all out. Well, you know, you really don't want to close out those credit cards that you've had, you know, since you got out of college or high school. If you had it for a while, even if you're not using it that much, it's got some history on it. So I'd keep those and stuff. But if you've had a lot, and you're particularly in the last few years, and you're not using them, it's probably I'd close those out and stuff.
All right, and I interrupted your pie chart here.
My pie chart, yes, I am. Boy, I'm on it today here. But 10% is new accounts. You know, like if you're going out and applying for a lot of accounts in a quick amount of time, that's going to pull your score down a little bit. And then credit history. Again, we talked about, you know, the older the account is, the better that is on your credit report. So those are just some of the, obviously, but what you owe and your payment history is about 65% of your credit score. So those are the things that you really want to pay attention to the most.
Okay. So let's break that down a little further. Or maybe let's go first to how important it is to stay on top of your credit score and to know what that is instead of, do what a lot of folks do when they're dealing with finances and just ignore it.
Ignore it, yes. I think for anybody who's using credit is definitely get a copy of your credit report at least once a year, and you can do that free through annualcreditreport.com. That's the free government website. Now, for free, you do get your credit report from TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian once a year. So you can kind of spread them out throughout the year, but you don't get the credit score for free. So if you want the credit score, I'm guessing you're going to have to pay at least 10, maybe 15 bucks. So not a bad idea to see what that is. And again, you want to, I think nowadays to get decent credit, you want to be in that 700 range. So that's what you want to look for. And if you're not there, you're not stuck. I was just teaching a class before I came here today, basically on money management credit, and I was telling some of the folks, you're not stuck. I mean, it's that you're not there for the rest of your life. You can slowly rebuild your credit. It just takes some time.
It can sometimes take a while, especially though if you've had some maybe payment problems in your history, things like that.
Yeah, you know, bankruptcy is going to be on there 10 years, but it doesn't mean, you know, you can't get credit for the next 10 years. The slow pays, that's anything, you know, if you're missing a billing cycle, that'll show up for 7 years. Accounts being sent to collections are on there 7 years. The trick is, what are you doing about it? Are you getting back on track and you're starting to make those payments on time? Have you paid off those collection accounts rather than having them set there unpaid? So it's one thing, get your credit report, look at it, and then take action. You want to take action to improve that credit.
So you're saying that that many creditors, I think what you're saying anyway, is many creditors aren't just looking at that score necessarily. I mean, if they may also look at how you're progressing toward how you're working toward a better
score. I think so. I think, you know, I think they're going to definitely look at the score as a basis of what type of interest rates you're going to get and stuff like that. But I think for a lot of them too, they're going to look at, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing about it? What are you doing since then? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the big key. Because I hear from people a lot of times, they'll say, well, I found bank. I'm never going to touch a credit card in my life. I'm never going to get credit. I'm going to pay cash. Well, good for you. But 7 years from now, if you want to get a mortgage or get a car loan, chances are you're going to have to get a cosigner because you've done nothing to get positive credit back on your credit report in those last 7 years. So you have to jump back in the pool.
We want to hear from you, our listeners, today. If you have any questions about credit scores and the like, we want to hear from you. Call us at 800-471-9264. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at middaymatters. And don't forget, if we know these issues can be a bit sensitive, if you want to stay anonymous on the air today, we'll be happy to help you out that way. Susan Burns.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm wondering, you know, we've just come through the hard times, and
not sure they're over yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, through is kind of an optimistic view, but I do that, and I'm wondering, as people are looking at their credit reports and their credit history, are you finding that it's the people that are working on it that are maybe getting a little more response from the lenders, or do lenders seem to be aware that there may be people who've got holes in their credit history now that they didn't before?
You know, I think lenders, once they see your credit report and score, they're going to use that as a basis whether or not, you know, you're going to get the loan, first of all, or the credit card, or what type of interest rates. But if you're showing that you're actively trying to improve that, I think that's going to improve your chances. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And then, you know, we talked, Sean, about the grad side.
Yeah.
What should someone just getting that first, hi, get a credit card from us kind of letter, how should you view that if you're a young person or a new grad?
Well, you know, I've got three children. One's 28, one's on their own with kids. I've got grandkids and everything. The other one's 22. And my first two kids, they got their own credit cards. Mom or I did not co-sign on them. And they were able to get their first credit card with a low balance. And I think so far they've used it pretty wisely and helped build their credit. My 18-year-old son, he's after the Credit Card Act of 2009. So for somebody that's under 21 to get a credit card, nowadays you have to either get a cosigner or show proof of independent income. Mm. So on his end, he is working a part-time job. So I'm probably going to encourage him to get a MasterCard or Visa in his own name without dad or mom cosigning and using it, you know, on a regular basis. Don't just put it in a wallet and never use it again. That's not going to help your credit. But with a low limit, you know, and help him build his credit, I'm not going to co-sign for him. You can. A lot of young kids nowadays, what they do is use the authorized user or piggyback on their parents' credit. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty popular and common, particularly since the passage of the Credit Card Act. And that's a way of, as a parent, you can put your son as your daughter as an authorized user. They're kind of getting your good credit on there, and that's going to help them establish and use credit.
So it doesn't sound like it's exactly the same thing, but it seems almost like your parents are kind of co-signing. They're vouching for the child, basically.
Well, it's not so much co-signing, but that authorized user is not liable for the account, so the parents are still liable, but. Mm-hmm. You can see on the credit card statement online or in paper form what the kid's doing and stuff, so you can monitor it. You can cut them off at any point in time. So it's kind
of
like training wheels.
A lot of parents happy about that, I
yeah,
imagine.
Yeah, yeah. It's credit card training wheels, really, for your kid. And it's not a bad idea, particularly if you're a little leery, particularly sending them off to, let's say, Bloomington or somewhere like that, and you're going, gee whiz, the kid's never used a credit card. I want to kind of monitor it, because if the card's in his name, then you're not seeing it. He's probably not going to share that, or she's going to share that information. So I don't know. You know, I'm kind of I thought about that with my one son, but we'll see which we're out. Definitely not co-signing, but I still might just have him apply for in his own name for a credit card. We'll see.
We do need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation about credit scores and the like, and we want to hear from you. We know this can be a bit confusing, even for those of us who have heard it a lot of times.
More than
so,
once.
So if you have a question or comment, please do give us a call. Maybe you have a credit success story as well. We'd love to hear that and your tips for helping parents to impart these good lessons to their graduates. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And of course, if you'd like to remain anonymous today, just let us know or let our call screener know, and we'll get that done for you. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
The story of us.
Again?
All right, Francis.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the new film Frances Ha with director Noah Baumbach and actress Greta Gerwig. It's about a young woman in the transition from college student to adult, dealing with relationships with both men and women that are often ambiguous and open-ended. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Neil Conan. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
¶¶
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Plan to retire on your terms. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and nonprofit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. Details at lakecitybank.com.
It's Midday Matters right here on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this Tuesday Financial Focus edition of our program. With me in studio, it's Susan Burns, our usual co-host for this program. Thanks for being with us, Susan.
Sure, glad to. Always happy to be in your shotgun seat here.
That's right.
We're flying low and fast over credit.
That's right. With us as well in studio, Mike LeClaire from Financial Hope right here in Fort Wayne. Usually about once a month, our friends from Financial Hope are in to talk about all things credit, and we're going back to basics today So many young people, so many graduates are headed into the big scary real world, and a lot more financial responsibility, and we know that credit and debt can be very very confusing and sometimes very financially dangerous if you don't know how to use it correctly. We want to hear your questions and comments today. Maybe you have a question for Mike. Maybe you have a credit success story. We'd love to hear that as well. And if you have a horror story you'd like to share, maybe some tips with parents of grads going into the world, we'd love to hear those too. Call us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Susan, we were talking a bit before we had to go to break there about these shared credit accounts,
right?
Basically,
right? How to get your young person started in the jungle of credit. Mm-hmm. And Mike, you mentioned a couple options: the authorized user versus the co-signer.
Right, right.
Walk us through a little more in depth on those two.
Okay, as an authorized user, you're not legally liable for the account, and basically you're just kind of, again, piggybacking off the, you know, generally it's a family member's good credit. So it's a great way to actually try to build and get credit going at in a short amount of time. The downside is that if you're an authorized user and somebody's credit starts to tank, then your credit's going to take a hit too. So the good side too, for a parent or somebody, is you can monitor that and keep close tabs on your son or daughter to see how they're doing with it. Co-signing, you got to be really super careful with that. A lot of people have been burned. If you co-sign for your son or daughter or family member, you're legally liable for their whatever they purchase. You know, so if they buy a car, you co-sign it, and they can't make the payments, all of a sudden they're going to come after you, and it's going to affect you financially. It's going to affect your credit report. And I've had a family member that's been burned on that, and then actually, I remember years ago we had a good friend that wanted us to co-sign on a car loan, and hope he's not listening right now. Kind of thankful we never did, because that car ended up going back to the dealership, and my wife and I, we never would have been able to make payments on that as well as ours, so that would have probably forced us into bankruptcy. So I'm really leery about that. I can't even recall co-signing on anybody's account. So
It does seem like kind of a risk.
Yeah,
so put your money out there too.
And even as a young person, let's say you start building up your credit, and you're all of a sudden you're 21, so now it's a little, you know, and all of a sudden you got somebody that's younger, let's say 18, 19, coming to you and saying, hey, don't worry about it. Can you co-sign? I need somebody to co-sign in this credit card. Oh yeah, no problem. You have to be careful that, again, that the repercussions that's gonna, it could hurt your credit report, and then you're, again, legally responsible for that other person's actions and what they purchase and stuff.
So. And of course, with that affecting your credit report, it could hurt your financial future in a very real
definitely.
Way.
Definitely. Definitely. And a lot of times it's, hey, don't worry about it. I got a good job. No problem. You know, hey, you remember, we're buddies, you know, so you get kind of, you know, okay, yeah, I'll do it, you know. So you just be careful. It doesn't mean you don't like the person if you say no to them. It's just that you're just thinking about it. Yeah.
We want to hear from our listeners today. If you have a question, a comment, maybe a story or a tip to share with us today, give us a call. And if you'd like to remain anonymous, we can certainly do that for you at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Send us a tweet at middaymatters or post on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. We had a caller, an anonymous caller, leave a message with us. The caller says she and her husband have credit scores over 800, but they never get to the highest point and are never late on payments. They pay off their credit cards every month, but are wondering if never carrying a balance is hurting them. Well, first of all, a score over 800. Congratulations. Holy cow.
I wouldn't be worried about the rest. I'm going to be really honest. Yeah. So, the reason why they're not getting the 850, I'm not 100% sure. So, yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, it pretty much when creditors look at scores, I mean, if you're over that level of 800, I mean, you're more or less guaranteed to get a
gold.
Good rate, right?
Yeah. So at this point, yeah, they're probably trying to, you know, hit the magic 850 mark. So I don't know. That's a great question. I've never had that come up because I don't think I've had too many people worried about that one. Mm-hmm. So.
not the kind of people that come to Financial Hope.
Not always, yeah.
Definitely keep up the good work.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Yeah.
I wonder if could she, the caller, just call the credit score people, like one of the credit reporting agencies, and say, what would it take?
Well, good luck. I mean, you try calling one of these credit reporting agencies, you're going to get, you know, you're not going to be able to talk to anybody. It's usually through, online communication, the old fashioned mailing, but usually there's nobody local that I know that you can talk to them about your credit report here in like Fort Wayne and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe the idea is they're not using, you know, on a regular per se basis, you know, like she said, they paid off every month, but good for them. I would be more concerned. I'd be more happy that I think, you know, you're paying your bets off, you're over that 800, and I would be just basking in that, actually.
I know, Mike, maybe you can vouch or not for these. I know there are a number of online services that, you do have to give over some financial information, but yeah, they will help analyze your credit and give you, you know, letter grades, give you a kind of a basic score. I think Credit Karma is one of them.
Yes,
I think there are a few others, and if the caller wanted to check that out, that may be able to expose, you know, what's that one thing that's missing.
Keeping me from getting the gold medal. But
gold
my FICO.com is another one of those websites that could probably, you know, run some scenarios by, and it might get them there. So,
All right. Well, we appreciate your call and your message. We help more folks get in touch with us by calling 800-471-9264, emailing us at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And, of course, you can always get on our Facebook page or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We've touched a little bit in the first part of our program about how important it is to keep an eye on your credit report and always know what's on there. You know, what, be sure that it's right. But I want to dig a little deeper into it, Mike. I mean, when folks get their annual credit report, what should they be looking for? I mean, are there specific red flags that should get their attention right away? What should folks look for?
Well, the first thing on there, the first information you're generally going to see is your personal information, you know, your name, address, social, things like that, date of birth. Yeah, just double check to make sure those are correct. And if not, you can just update with that with the credit bureau. Past that, you're getting into, if you had any public records, like, you know, judgments, things of that nature, then your basic credit, you know, any type of installment loans, student loans, credit cards, and things of that nature. And then if you do see anything on there that's incorrect, you can dispute that information with the credit bureau. You can do it online nowadays. You just go on their website and there's a dispute link on there that you would just hit on it. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, is mail in something. But by law, then the credit bureaus have 30 days to investigate your dispute and get back to you and say, yeah, you're correct. You know, this is an error. We'll take it off your credit report. And generally, you should get an updated copy of your credit report. Mm-hmm. Or by the way, you still owe Sears $3,000 and you just forgot about it. So it should be on there.
Well, I imagine it happens both ways. So so basically, you're looking to be sure that each credit account is represented on there, and then whether the amounts owed are correct.
Yeah, right. And again, keep in mind that a lot of times it's a 30-day window there. So if you just made a payment, you know, like 5 days ago, it's not going to show up that quickly. But I think most people really aren't too concerned about their credit report until they, like, you know, get a car loan, want to buy a house, and then there's something on there that then all of a sudden now it's an error that they need to dispute and get fixed. So now it's going to delay them getting this car, this mortgage. So I think now that the time to do that is before you actually start the car shopping or the mortgage process.
Yeah. It could potentially save you a lot of money and a lot of hassle.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And two, there's with ID theft out there, I mean, somebody could have stolen your ID, you don't even know about it, and all of a sudden it's showing, you know, like you've got a card with Master, you know, American Express or Chase, and it's like, what is this? Well, that's ID theft, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
We hope our listeners are getting those questions and comments ready. You can always call us at 800-471-9264 if you have a question, a comment, maybe a credit success story, or maybe we'll call them a horror stories that we can learn from as well. And of course, if you wanted to remain anonymous, we can do that for you today. The important thing is that you get involved in the conversation. We also have our Facebook page up and ready to go, and you can send us a tweet at Midday Matters.
Right, Sean, and I've heard the comment, and I think some of our listeners have too, that sometimes we Americans are more willing to talk about our sex lives than our money. So that anonymous option is definitely there.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Mike, as we're talking about, you know, how to guide your kids, uh-huh. and sometimes, especially if the kids are grown adults,
yeah.
that's kind of tricky territory because you want to respect them. But then again, if you can see them drifting, are there signs you can spot to see that they're not on the path you wish they were?
Well, in terms of for anybody, if you know, like, hi, you're getting calls from your creditors, you don't want to open your mail from your creditors, you're using one credit card to pay another one, you know, things that those are red flags that you're having issues and you need to really address, you know, the bottom line, what's going on there. What, you know, why am I getting calls from my creditors constantly? I mean, not just once in a blue moon or you know, I'm not opening my mail because I'm either too depressed or I don't want to, you know, I don't want to know how much I owe. So if you're out there like that, that's definitely some red flags that you need to deal with it and deal with it hopefully in a good manner. A lot of people are going to other places that sometimes might get you into more trouble than to begin with, you know, like debt settlement agencies. I know we've talked about that before. That can get you into quite a different. Oh yeah, we had a person come in the other day that was involved with the debt settlement agency. Finally pulled out and came to us to see if we can help her. Well, their credit cards haven't been paid in 9 months, and I noticed she showed me her credit report. Most of those accounts are now charged off. Those usually end up in the hands of collection agencies and attorneys. So we can give her guidance and advice, but for like going on our debt management program, that's kind of out of our realm now. And so it's going to be tough to set up payment plans with those type of creditors, you know. Yeah.
We have to go to a break in just about 2 or 3 minutes here, but we do have a caller we want to get on the air before we have to break for the news. Let's open the phones and go to Daniel. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is, what can we say about those other than creditors who may be looking at our credit scores for maybe what we could call a measure or gauge of personal character?
And we're talking about folks like landlords, things like that?
Oh, sure. It could be maybe more people other than those directly with some commercial or sales role or commercial role. There's Gattaca that comes to mind. Maybe you're familiar with that movie where they measure people by their genetics and such, but...
And Daniel, you bring up a great point here, and thank you. I mean, more and more in this data-driven world, a lot of folks, Mike Leclerc, are using credit scores and taking a look at credit scores to judge maybe more than just your credit worthiness.
I think, yeah, definitely. Like a lot of employers use credit scores and your credit history as a basis, whether or not you may get a job, particularly if you're working with finances, landlords, auto insurance companies. Yeah, it's definitely going to play a role. Now, where do you draw the line on that? And I think some states are coming out with legislation that's prohibited using credit cards scores for as a basis of employment. I think some states have gone to that. Whether or not Indiana will, who knows? But I don't know. That's a good question and a good point. But it's definitely still a factor right now for a lot of places.
And another good reason to keep it healthy and check up on
definitely,
it.
Definitely, yeah. It definitely goes beyond just being able to buy a car or get a credit card. It could infect your ability to get a good job, get that apartment, particularly if you're a young person, and things of that nature. So great question. Good point.
Daniel, we appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You can call us if you have a question or comment this hour at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We're taking questions and comments. We're taking your stories, whether they're credit success stories or horror stories that maybe we can learn a thing or two from as well. We need to take a quick break for the news. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne, August 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum online at indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW. Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOI News. A former deputy prosecutor has offered to provide federal authorities with evidence that could lead to corruption charges against other current and former Indianapolis officials. U.S. Attorney Joe Hogsett told reporters Monday that 53-year-old David Weiser had agreed to cooperate with investigators as part of a potential plea deal. Weiser was the top deputy to former Marion County prosecutor Carl Britzy. Hogsett says Weiser has asked to plead guilty to public corruption charges for allegedly accepting a $2,500 bribe in 2009 to reduce a 70-year prison sentence term for murder and conspiracy. Court documents say the money went to Weiser's campaign for prosecutor in suburban Hamilton County. Weiser could face 10 years if convicted. Hogsett says the deal doesn't include a sentence recommendation. The deal needs a judge's approval. Indiana police officers and driving instructors, frustrated by the difficulties in enforcing the state's ban on texting while driving, say any cell phone use is a distraction behind the wheel. St. Joseph County Police Sergeant Bill Redmond tells the South Bend Tribune that few tickets have been issued in St. Joseph County for texting while driving. He says drivers' phones are routinely checked for texting in cases involving serious bodily injury or death, but drivers often aren't forthcoming about texting in minor accidents. Redmond says a challenge of enforcing Indiana's texting while driving ban is that the state's law does not include other types of distractions caused by mobile devices. He notes that many states have barred any cell phone use that involves holding the phone. Some drier weather has helped Indiana farmers start catching up on this year's corn and soybean crops. The federal government's weekly crop report says 30% of the Indiana corn crop was planted as of Sunday, up from 8% the week before. But this spring's persistent rains have kept corn planting far behind the 92% level reached at the same time last year, and the five-year average of 54%. The crop report says soybean planting is also behind typical pace. 6% of the soybeans crops have been planted, down from the average of 89%. The Fort Wayne Comets will have a new coach for the first time in six seasons. WBOI's Doug Gruber has a story.
Comets coach Al Sims yesterday announced his retirement from hockey. Sims said, quote, "After talking with my family the last month, we're all in agreement this is the best course for me." Sims coached the Comets for a total of 10 years, the past six seasons consecutively, leading the Cavs to two regular season titles and four championships. Comets president Michael Franke said his tremendous success will be honored by the organization in the near future. The Comets ended the past season finishing fourth in the North Division and missing the playoffs. With the earlier notice that Comet veteran center and player assistant coach Colin Chalk announced his retirement after a 15-year pro hockey career and 10-year career with the Fort Wayne Comets. One wonders if he might be the new Comets coach. We'll see. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
This is 89.1 FM, WBOI Fort Wayne. And now back to Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. 20 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. This is the Financial Focus edition of our program, and this is our monthly program where our friends from Financial Hope join us to talk all things debt and credit and savings. Today, we're going back to basics. We know a lot of young people are graduating, have graduated, will be graduating soon, and it can be a bit of a challenge to understand everything there is to understand about debt and credit. So we're going to try to tackle some of the basics today. Call us with your question or comment, 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Susan Burns is with me in studio, and Susan, we have Mike LeClair in studio today.
We do, from Financial Hope, with lots of good information to offer people about their credit cards and their credit score and all that sort of stuff. And if you're someone who's wondering, how do I get this thing going again with reestablishing credit? Mike might have some ideas that, don't you?
Yeah. Step one is to get one we already talked about. Get a hold of your credit report, and you can do that for free through annualcreditreport.com. So that's step one. Take a look at your credit report. Dispute anything on there that, again, you feel is inaccurate or is a mistake. But here, you know, if you got factual information on there, let's say is negative credit, what you can do to improve your credit score, and the number one thing is pay your bills on time. I can't preach that enough, is paying your bills on time. If you pay your credit card, your car loan one day late, that doesn't show up on the credit report. But if you miss the billing cycle, that shows up as the slow pay, and then you get enough of those, that's going to drag the score down. So get credit and use it. You know, if you're trying to reestablish or get, you know, you get credit card or something, use it. I tell people, you don't want to, abuse it, but you got to use it. So the idea would be to charge something, a gallon of gas, a gallon of milk, and then pay it off every month. And that's going to show up on your credit report every month that you're using revolving credit, using it wisely. So you got to use it. Don't max out the credit cards. When you do that, that's going to drag your score down. You're using up that available credit that does kind of drag down your score. Don't be afraid to talk to your creditors. If you're having issues, communicate. The worst thing you can do is avoid them. Promise them that you're going to make a payment on Friday, and you know darn well you don't have the money to do that. So I tell everybody when I'm teaching a class that I have three different payment plans going on with one our dentist, one with a local hospital, and with a Mayo Clinic. And we've had some medical issues in our family over the last few years, and I could not pay the entire bill. So rather than just stuff the bill in a drawer somewhere, I communicate with these folks, and we have it in writing. We have it in writing. That's the key. A lot of times people think, if I flip this hospital $25 a month, they can't do anything about it. Well, you got to get it in writing, and it has to be an approved payment plan, then you'll be okay. So communication is a key. And again, don't try to open up too many accounts in a short amount of time to spread that debt around. And again, the big thing, monitor your credit report to see what's on there.
So. Yeah, and Mike, another thought as you're describing that mix that you have going there, what are the different ways to get credit best aimed at? I'm thinking like some things you're smart to put on a credit card, some other things you may want to look at a loan. How do you decide? Where do you fall on that?
Good question. I don't know if I'm going to charge up my next car, so I think I'll lay off that on the credit card and go to the installment loan. But I don't know. I think it's just what you and again, it goes back to having a budget that we've talked about on this program before, to know what you can afford. You want to try to avoid the minimum monthly payment trap. In this class, again, today that I taught, we do an exercise where $2,000 credit card balance and minimum payments 2% of the outstanding balance at 18% interest. If you only make the minimum monthly payment, you're paying that thing for 30 years. So because the minimum payment drops every month, and that's not adding another nickel. So again, those are things you want to be aware of. But what to put on credit cards and things of that nature, I think that's just your own personal preference, what you feel you can afford. And again, it goes back to having a good budget. So.
And Mike, you hit on something there, and I want to get to it in a moment. I do want to remind our listeners there's only about 15 minutes left in the show. So if you have a question, a comment, a story of triumph, or maybe a not-so-great credit story that you'd like to share with us, we can learn from that as well. Call us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We talk about it almost every time, I think, folks from Financial Hope come onto the show, but this is because it's important. You mentioned that monthly budget and
yes.
How important that is, because folks can have a credit card that's uh-huh. $1,500 limit,
right.
$2,000, $5,000, $10,000
yeah,
limit,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean you should be, you know, that's how much money you have right now. That's not necessarily reflective of the type of disposable income you have right now. And so talk just a little bit more about, I mean, how important it is to really get down into that budget and be specific when you're looking at your costs and expenses.
You know, it's key, and I throw this out too a lot of times. I'll say, okay, let's say if you're working right now and your employer pulled you into a conference room with the rest of your employees and said to you, hey, by the way, we have income flowing in, but we don't know for sure how much it is, and it kind of varies every month. We have expenses. We have the light bill, utilities. We have to pay, you know, payroll, but we really don't know all those expenses either, and they're fuzzy. And we owe vendors money, but half the time we don't pay them. And you know, we skip some of them some months, and we pay who we can. How confident? What are you thinking right then and there? What do you think? Well, everybody in the room is going, well, gee whiz, I'm going to lose my job. Yeah, you are going to lose your job, because they're going to tank. They're going to end up filing bankruptcy. So think of yourself as a small business. It doesn't have to be that complex. But you have to know how much income you have flowing in. Where's your money going? You're going to have to track it to see where it's really going. And you got to know who you owe. You know, again, I used to think otherwise you're going to be in trouble. I used to think having a budget was like a diet. Try it. If you like it, stick with it. If not, it's not the end of the world. Today's society, I think it is a necessary skill that you have to have in order to survive and flourish in today's society. And if you don't have that skill, you can learn that skill. If you weren't taught that in school, if a family member didn't model that skill to you, there is always time to learn that skill, and it is a skill. It does take some time to learn, but you can get it. You know?
You'll sleep a little better at night, probably too, knowing where you stand financially.
Definitely. Yes.
We had a caller leave a message with us, and of course, if you'd like to call and leave a message, or maybe be on the air, you can call us at 800-471-9264. If you'd like to be anonymous, of course, we can provide that for you today. A caller called in, wants the guest to address what a credit freeze is and how do you control it. Mike, can you talk a little bit about what they are and what they do?
From my understanding of that is you can have the credit bureaus put a freeze on your account. So it generally prevents somebody from just opening up accounts in your name without some extra verification of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can place that freeze on there, and then you can actually have it taken off. So
and these are for folks who are maybe worried about identity
definitely.
Theft, things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you just Google it, you'll get a wealth of information on doing that. But again, the whole idea is that I put that credit freeze on there. It's going to be a lot more difficult for somebody to just arbitrarily go out there and open up a credit card in my name without having to jump through a lot more hoops and verification from that whoever that creditor is before they actually extend that credit. So that's a good question. Yeah.
We appreciate the message. We have one more email here before we go to just a quick break. Steven says, for our information, regarding the person who was trying to improve their already excellent credit score, the credit reports usually contain a section indicating issues that affected and might improve scores. This usually is shown by codes that are also defined in the report. So work on those issues. And Mike, we were talking just a little bit about this over the break. There are a few items that you might look to help improve that already very good score.
Right. And again, going back to the codes, they do code like certain things, like you'll see a lot of ones on your credit report that's actually paying as on time. Twos, you know, you're 30 days late. Threes, 60 days late. A nine is generally what's considered a charge-off, meaning you still owe the debt, but the creditor's taken this debt off their accounts receivable. Those usually end up in the hands of collection agencies. So there are certain numbers. There credit reports, though, are a lot more easier to read than they used to be. People used to be scared to, you know, get their credit report to try to read it. Nowadays, they're pretty easy to understand and read. Yeah.
We want you to get in touch with us. We do need to take a quick break here. In the meantime, get to your phones with your questions or comments. 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Stay with us. Show continues in 90 seconds.
Story of us.
Again?
All right, Frances.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the new film Frances Ha with director Noah Baumbach and actress Greta Gerwig. It's about a young woman in the transition from college student to adult, dealing with relationships with both men and women that are often ambiguous and open-ended. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
In Kenya, Mike Watson's enemy is equipped with AK-47s and probably night vision goggles. Sometimes the enemy is part of his own team, which tries to stop poachers from killing rhinos for their horns.
We've got people on the inside who are feeding information, which makes it doubly difficult to do the job.
Battling poachers today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Called in as the United States and UN forces faced disaster in Korea, General Matthew Ridgway, recaptured Seoul, drove Chinese and North Korean troops back to the 38th parallel and averted a nuclear war. I'm Neil Conan, Victor Davis Hanson, and General Bernard Traynor on our war in Korea, plus Neil Gaiman making good art. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Seven minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters Financial Focus right here on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and with us this hour, it's Mike LeClaire from Financial Hope right here in Fort Wayne. We've been talking about credit and debt all hour. If you have a question or comment, get it in now. Call us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We just have a few minutes here left in the program, Mike, and we've mentioned Financial Hope's name a few times, but it's always good to remind folks what you all do exactly, why you're here.
Well, first of all, Financial Hope, our legal name is still Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Northeastern Indiana. I think a lot of people still think of us as that. We've been around since 1965. We are the original Consumer Credit Counseling Service in this area, the fifth one in the United States. But we changed our name to Financial Hope back in the fall of 2012, just to kind of give it a different perspective of what we do. But we're a true nonprofit agency. We offer free budget counseling. So if somebody just wants to come in and have us go over their budget, there's a little paperwork. We'll be glad to email them or pop it in the mail, or they could actually just pop in that information off our website. But we go over, they'll meet with a certified financial counselor. Appointment takes about 45 minutes, an hour. They'll give them an action plan, give them some tips and ideas. So that's always a great thing. We offer the debt management program where for some folks, we're able to work between them and their creditors to lower the interest rates and stop the late fees and over-limit fees. And for a lot of folks, that's been their way of avoiding getting out of credit card debt and avoiding bankruptcy even. And we offer educational programs, mortgage counseling, reverse mortgage counseling. So we have a wide menu of what we do. What's interesting is that we're seeing less and less people. And in today's economy, you would think we'd be seeing more. So not sure where everybody's going. I'm guessing a lot of the 1-800 numbers they see at 3 a.m. on TV, which is okay. But we are a local organization. We have a local board of directors. We offer financial education. We have certified financial counselors. So, you know, we're the real deal. I've been there 18 years. I can't believe it's been 18 years. And it's a bona fide. It's a great organization. And if you do need some help, it's tough. Sean, I know you've said that. It's tough. tough to face. Well, you know, I need to reach out a little bit. It's not working on my own. Nobody's going to judge you. We're not there to do that. We're there to offer some assistance, encouragement, and see how we can help you.
And it can be vitally important to your financial health the rest of your life.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Looks like we have a caller on the line here just in the last few minutes of the program. Let's open the phones and see if we can go to Richard. Richard, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon. My question is if you have pretty good credit already and you go into like a Cabela's or a Home Depot or what have you, and they offer you a discount on today's purchase if you apply for a card, you know, does that hurt your credit by getting more credit cards?
And Michael Clear is something we see in, it seems like, almost every store these days. You want a Target card, a JCPenney card, a Sears card.
Yeah.
Those are real life credit cards.
Doing that, you know, once in a while is not the end of the world. I don't think it's going to hurt you, to be real honest. But if you're at the mall on over the weekend, and for every store you go into or you're applying for a credit card, yeah, it's going to probably drag your score down. So once in a while, not a big deal. So I wouldn't worry about that once in a while.
But okay. as so often the case, everything in moderation.
Yes, that's perfect.
Yeah. and Mike, also, if over the years you've done that a few times,
yes,
and then, you know, okay, I haven't gone back to that store.
Yeah.
What do you do about those cards that are now on your credit report? You never use them. They're just sitting there. Is that the sort of thing you could clean off?
You can close them. You just contact the creditor, call them up, tell them you want to close the account. Again, if you've had a credit card since, you know, you got out of college, and it's, even though you're not using it, I would probably keep that one. It's got some history, you know, so I would keep that on the credit report. But you've applied for the Cabela's a year ago and you haven't used it since the initial 10% discount they gave you, and I'd probably just close it out. Yeah.
Richard, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Just a few minutes left in the program here, and that's something we didn't quite touch on maybe enough at the beginning of the show. I mean, a big part of what your credit score is how many accounts you have, how long you've had them, but having too much credit could be potentially hurtful as well, or am I wrong?
Well, again, you know, it used to be the rule of thumb would be, wow, you've got 15 credit cards with, even though you haven't used a lot of them, you have the potential to go out and charge $100,000 with credit card debt, mm-hmm, and that could harm you. It probably does still affect you a little bit, but I think the new thing is don't go out there and close every single credit card you've had because of that worry. Probably a good tip is just to have a basic MasterCard Visa that you're comfortable with, that it fits what your lifestyle is. A store card's fine to have and things like that. And that's really all you need. You don't need like a stack of like 10 credit cards, particularly if you're not using most of those things. So.
Well, we're just about to the end of the program here. Mike, briefly, how can folks get in touch with you all at Financial Hope?
Well, it's our local number is 260-432-8200. Our website is www.financialhope.org.
All right. We'll be sure to post that on our Facebook page after the show's over here as well. Mike LeClaire from Financial Hope, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, and thank you, Sean.
Thank you very much, Susan. Thanks so much to our listeners for being with us and for those who got in touch this hour as well. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1 and online at NIPR.FM. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Stay with us. Fresh Air with Terry Gross and your local host, Katie Anderson, is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody. It's 1 o'clock.